Good morning. The first reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 3 to 12. First, there's an introduction to the passages. As Moses led the people out of Egypt onto a journey to Sinai, they grumbled that there was nothing to eat. God provided them with manna. It was an unfamiliar substance to the Israelites. Its composition, as explained in different sources and traditions, is a flaky substance that, like frost or shaped like coriander seed, was white or like gum resin, yellowish, and tasted like honey-soaked wafers or cakes baked with oil. It could be ground or pounded in a mortar, then baked or boiled. It melted in the sun, and when stored, it rotted or became worm-infested by the next day, unless that day was the Sabbath. Here's the reading, verses 3 to 12. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this desert to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out and gather the amount for each day, so that I may test them. Will they walk in my law or not? On the sixth day, they will prepare what they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather every other day." Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your murmurings against the Lord. As for us, what are we that you should murmur against us?" Moses said, "You will know this when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread in the morning to satisfy you, because the Lord has heard your murmurings, that you are murmuring against him. As for us, what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Tell the whole community of Israelites, come before the Lord, because he has heard your murmurings." As Aaron spoke to the whole community of the Israelites, and they looked towards the desert, there the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "I have heard the murmurings of the Israelites. Tell them, during the evening you will eat meat, in the mornings you will be satisfied with the bread, so that you may know that I am the Lord your God." The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35 and 41 to verses 41 to 51. Again, an introduction to the passages. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus retreats to the mountains until it was time to travel by boat to Capernaum. To the crowd that followed him, he tells the story of his ancestors who ate the manna in the wilderness. He explains that it wasn't Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but rather it was God that gave the true bread from heaven and gives life to the world. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never go hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. verses 41 to 51. Then the Jews who were hostile to Jesus began complaining about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus replied, "Do not complain about me to one another. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who hears and learns from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. I tell you the solemn truth, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that a person may eat from it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. There are many stories in the gospel when Jesus is eating bread, sharing bread, or blessing bread. There is the Last Supper and the loaves and fishes story. And in the story this morning, Jesus tells us he is the bread of life. Jesus invites us to see him as a form of nourishment. His teaching extends to his disciples and to us that we will never go hungry if we just believe he is, in fact, the bread of life. In an article I read recently in the United Church Observer magazine, the writer shared various stories of mishaps during worship services. One of the stories was about communion and how the student minister almost wiped out her supervisor as she broke apart the bread. It must have been a pretty tough loaf. This reminded me of my very first time assisting with the communion liturgy as a student minister. As the elements were placed on the altar table that morning, I noticed the absence of the bread to break. Now, this was something I was so looking forward to, and I was pretty excited to be able to do that, and it wasn't there. So I asked the minister if there was a store nearby and I could just drive over and get a loaf of bread. And she said, no, there wasn't one nearby, there wasn't time, but there was a Subway just down the street. So I ran down to the Subway and I asked for a Subway sandwich, but hold the fixings. It cost me $8 for this sandwich loaf. But I had the loaf, and I had it on the table, and I was able to break the bread at that pivotal moment, and I just will never forget my first time doing the communion service. In our Exodus story this morning, when Moses explained to the Israelites that God would provide, I don't think he really knew in what capacity this would occur. Moses' trust in God to give the people what they needed was all he could go by. God told Moses to give specific instructions to respect the Sabbath. which was custom to refrain from work on the seventh day. Unfortunately, people's greed got the better of them, and they put away more than they could consume, and the surplus rotted. The Israelites were afraid that they wouldn't have enough food for the days to come. The need for bread in this early stage of the journey out of Egypt provides both God and God's people with the opportunity to understand and to trust each other. Throughout this story, the people struggle to trust and follow God, and God tries to nurture this troubled community of former slaves. The language of the complaint is strong. One might say it is unfair. In verse 3, we hear the Israelites say to Moses and his brother Aaron, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out to the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." But as we know from earlier chapters in Exodus, the harsh bondage the people suffered in Egypt bears no resemblance to this description of the plenty they claim they enjoyed there. Interestingly, the people make no mention of Pharaoh and his unreasonable demands. In an indirect way, the people seem to blame God, both for their current crisis in the wilderness as well as their enslavement. "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt." Pharaoh was the one trying to kill them in Egypt. God rescued them. Their hunger leads them to what seems to be willful forgetfulness. God saves them in a variety of ways, by providing clean water to drink, parting of the sea for travel, and now nourishment in the form of manna. It seems, however, that with all the grumbling going on, God dismisses their complaints and focuses on their needs. When he gives Moses instructions that the people must gather specific amounts on specific days and respect the Sabbath, it is a form of divine test. At the heart of the matter, there is some structure here that God's people must follow. The kind of instructions in a recipe for bread say, follow all the steps, measure out the ingredients precisely, mix and bake accordingly. As the bread is baking, the aroma of yeast and flour permeates the house, and you wait in anticipation for that tasty loaf to come out of the oven. But what if you've left something out? You've left out an ingredient, or you put too much of something into the mixture? It's just not going to taste right. No amount of butter or honey is going to improve the flavor of this loaf. At the heart of the matter, God was creating structure, giving the exact ingredients, as it were, to provide an assurance of God's faithfulness to his people. In verses 2 to 3, the people claim to long for Egypt and its bounty. But what Egypt really represented was a complete lack of provisions, with a Pharaoh who cared nothing for their well-being or their needs. The stress and chaos of life on the journey of the children of Israel through the wilderness is intense and debilitating, so much so that the people begin to long for their former lives as slaves in Egypt. As they long to go back, God's grace pushes them forward by providing strength for the journey in the form of food. and a structure to their days and weeks by the instructions regarding the keeping of the Sabbath. In the hands of the trustworthy God, the former reality of their lives in Egypt is a distant memory. Here, bread and rest on the Sabbath are provided generously and reliably. The bread from heaven was enough for all. They needed to trust that God's generosity would carry them through the sparse times, even when they doubted. Even when the situation seems hopeless, they learn to trust God. Here, God brings the Israelites to a new place of understanding. For us, there are times in our daily lives that are uncomfortable. We may doubt God as we seek to understand difficult situations. The uncertainty of moving forward into something new, taking a risk, is scary. In closing, I'd like to share with you a story. There's a group of people in Toronto that have taken a risk to provide a gathering place in a downtown park. In Dufferin Grove Park, there is an outdoor communal oven where once or twice a week people come to make pizzas for a picnic in the park. Having a public oven in the heart of downtown Toronto, where so many people know so little about each other or one another's stories, is actually a good thing. This place attracts people from all walks of life. They share stories, meeting old friends, and making new ones. This outdoor oven is a welcoming place, a gathering place, a place for nourishment. Just as Jesus did, this group extends radical hospitality for anyone who shows up. This community was born out of their imagination to wanting to build relationships in the community. Bread. Bread enough for all. Whatever is in store for us, when we accept Jesus as the bread of life, we can be nourished in a profound way. Whatever way you slice it, Jesus is a delicious part of who we are. God yearns for a relationship with us, the one we can trust to feed us, so we may be a source of nourishment for others, so their hearts and souls are full. I leave these thoughts with you. Amen.